Thank you. Anyone who's standing may be seated. And good morning to everyone. Our first case this morning is County of Sarpy versus City of Gretna. And we will start by having members of the court introduce themselves. I am Mike Havikin, the Chief Justice, and by order of seniority of service on the court, the other members of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. I'm Lindsay Miller Lerman.
William Castle. Good morning.
Stephanie Stacy. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff Funk.
Jonathan Papik. Good morning.
And John Friedenberg.
And counsel. Mr. Miller, are you here this morning?
Yes, Your Honor. Jeff Miller, Young & White Law Offices, attorneys for the City of Gretna.
Good morning to you. And Ms. Hapcott, are you here this morning?
Yes, I am.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Do either counsel have any questions before we begin?
No, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor.
Very good. We will begin then, Mr. Miller.
May it please the court, counsel. These two annexations serve several important interests for the City of Gretna. One being it brings in adjacent residential subdivisions into the corporate limits. Another is it's bringing into the city's limits two I-80 gateway entrances to the city. And it's also expanding the city's zoning and planning jurisdictions so that it can have participation in its future growth areas, which are quite large, and it can participate in the growth, the monumental growth that's occurring in those future growth areas. The interchange at 192nd and I-80 that's being planned now is the newest interchange, I-80 interchange in the metropolitan area in the last 20, 25 years. The last one that was built was the one on Giles Road and Interstate 80. And that is now surrounded by a Cabela's, a Costco, a PayPal complex, offices, hotels, restaurants, car dealers. And that is going to occur in the area immediately around in the surrounding areas of that 192nd interchange. Now, these two annexations, the first one, which we refer to,
opined on speculative future growth in regard to annexation. What has this court said about that topic, if anything?
I believe in your in the Valley case, you opined about potential future development, which is involved with the lands there. That was a characteristic or an indicator that the lands in question there were urban and suburban in character. Track one, which is our first annexation, it involves 963 residents in four residential subdivisions. That track one also has three one-lot subdivisions.
Miller, before you get into a detailed description of the events and facts, does your client contend that there is any dispute of material fact in this case?
No, Your Honor. Both sides move for cross motions on summary judgment, and We kind of stipulated at the hearing that there was no questions of material fact, and that it's a legal question whether the standards for annexation are met. And that question of whether the standards are met is a de novo question for this court. And it's the burden of the county to prove that the question parcels are rural in character. And in fact, our annexation ordinances, they're presumed by law to be valid. But back to track one, it also includes the 192nd interchange area, the Valla's Pumpkin Patch Commercial Amusement Park, and the three different businesses that it operates there. And then there, that also involves an RV business. This, the second annexation area, which we refer to.
Mr. Miller, when you're saying, when you're referencing track one, are you referencing the 2003 ordinance?
Yes, Your Honor. Track one is so 2003.
And there were 22 contested parcels, is that correct?
There's 22 contested parcels, seven are in track two and 15 are in track one.
But the court kind of talks about tracks differently than you're using it today. So there are multiple parcels or tracks within each.
We have track one, which is that annex area, and it has the contested parcels that are have numbers on them. And track two has seven contested parcels, which are also individually numbered.
Is there a date plan for the 192nd Street interchange? Is there a date plan construction?
A day plan?
A date plan for that? Is there a scheduled time to do that?
They are going through what they call the planning, environmental, and logistics stage right now. It moves to a preliminary evaluation stage, and then it goes to a design stage, then finally construction. And you know, certainly that is years out.
That what parcels would that encompass, if any?
The 192nd Street interchange is going to involve be in the area of parcels 22, 21, and 20.
Thank you.
Track two, which is ordinance 2004, it has 1,910 people living in it. And this is by the 2010 census, very old. It has 11 residential and commercial subdivisions. Including in that is the Walmart Supercenter complex, which has a hotel, fast food restaurants, offices. And then in track two, there's also the Sapp Brothers industrial and commercial complex or area. Now,
I beg your pardon, sir. With respect to the legal framework, to what extent is there an interplay between the Greenbelt statute and the issues in this case?
Well, we assert that the Greenbelt status, which all of the contested parcels have, that's an indicator of being urban and suburban in character, because only ag use properties that are subjected to market forces, sales in the area that cause those Greenbelt lands to actually have fair market value, much higher than their ag use value, then they get the special use value, which is diminishes their value for taxation purposes. And that's an indicator that in that area, the market is putting pressure and raising the values of all the ag use lands so that they are like, they're truly development lands. They're just waiting to be developed. And that attorney general opinion we cite in our brief, you know, referenced that.
Isn't it so true that all of Sarpy County is available for development and the highest and best use is development, and no agricultural property has been sold for years now for purposes of purely agricultural use? Isn't that accurate?
That is true, Your Honor.
So what does that, if anything, have an impact on whether this is urban or rural property?
Well, when you have land that's trading only for future development purposes, I mean, that's an indicator that applies to these lands too. In your Holden decision, you held that when land has a higher value for development purposes, residential purposes, instead of its ag use, that that's an indicator of it being urban and suburban in character. In this case, we had a certified appraiser appraise all 22 of the contested parcels. Separate appraisals for each contested parcel. And he decided that those parcels had a fair market value of a low of 20,000 to a high of 40,000. And it was also his opinion that their highest and best uses were for development purposes. And he also rendered opinion that their value for just ag production purposes at the very highest was 10,500. Well, 10,500 for ag use purposes only is greatly outweighed by their fair market value for development purposes of $20,000 to $40,000. In this case, we have across from track two and the contested parcels there a brand new elementary school that's going to open this week, this fall, with an initial class of 400 students. It is bringing municipal water and municipal sewer to the very across the street from the contested parcels in track one. It is also bringing a new 192nd Street with curb, gutter, and turn lanes, concrete street to the very doorstep of track one in the contested parcels there. In Weber, Vosh, Pershank, Holden, you looked at the existence of schools and were they in the annexed areas or were they in the surrounding areas as an indicator or characteristic of being urban and suburban. And here we got a brand new one right across the street that's bringing public city utilities and a brand new city urban street to the very doorstep of track one. And we believe that's significant evidence that the contested parcels are urban and suburban in character.
Was that evidence presented to the district court at the time that, that it made its decision?
Yes, Your Honor. That those are in the affidavits of the city engineer, Steve Perry, and also I believe in the rebuttal affidavits of the city engineer, maybe the rebuttal affidavit of the certified planner.
At that time, they'd obviously would have been prospective, not as existing.
That's true, but that information came into evidence. No one has objected or filed a cross appeal contesting that coming into evidence. And in several of your cases, you reference to the developments that were going on at the time of trial and at the time of summary judgment. And the Valley case is one of them, and the Bershank case is another one, and there's one more that makes that reference. So current state of the affairs, evidence as to the urban or suburban activities or the lack of it up to the time of trial has been looked at least three of your past cases.
Thank you.
Mr. Miller, before you wrap up, is there any question about the standing of Sarpy County to bring this lawsuit?
Well, Your Honor, they raised that as their in their complaint. We denied it. We did not contest it. It from one of your past Gretna cases, you held at least in that case under those facts that there was enough information to, I think it was a demur ruling to reverse that and send it back. Obviously standing is a jurisdictional item which the court can raise on its own and must raise on its own. And if the court would decide there's a lack of standing, then I mean, that would have to be your ruling in this case. But we believe that there's more than significant and substantial evidence in the record that establishes that the contested parcels are urban and suburban in character. We respectfully ask that you rule that the annexation ordinances are valid and that you reverse the district court. And I'm happy to answer any more questions.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hathcock, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Kayla Hathcock. I'm a deputy Sarpy County attorney representing the appellee in this matter. And as the appellant has already said, the issue in this case is whether the 22, I call them tracts, the 22 contested tracts are actually urban and suburban in character, or whether they are agricultural land that is rural in character. And that is a question of law for this court to consider. The district court did find that these 22 tracts were rural in character, and that was what exceeded the city's authority in being able to annex these tracts. As an initial matter, I would like to point out to the court that this is a very large annexation package. This would essentially over double the size of the city of Gretna. So while there are a lot of pieces of the annexation that we're not contesting the neighborhoods that are being annexed that are right next to the city limits, those sorts of things. When you get far away from the current city limits, you're getting into nothing but farm grounds, basically as far as the eye can see. And so when you look through the cases that the court has considered on this issue, which is relatively few cases, that talk about whether land is rural in character or urban in character, they're very fact-intensive cases. And I think that when you take the analysis as a whole, you'll see that these 22 tracts actually do fall in that rural characterization. Again, appellant and the city and the county don't have any dispute that these are all using agricultural purposes. They're all currently being farmed. They're all currently agricultural purpose land. And the court has held.
Aren't we really talking about the future here? And isn't there evidence in the record, and isn't it logical that all of this is going to be developed in the reasonably near future? How does that relate? What have we said about that in our cases, and how can we utilize that information in this case?
So that is a very good question, and that the county is not arguing that someday, eventually in the future, this land is going to be urban and suburban and it will be developed. If you look at the cases, a lot of the cases say, you know, if it's small isolated tracts that are near rapid development, or if they're already surrounded by city and they have, you know, current city utilities, current hookups to water, you know, all the gas, all of the utilities, then those tend to say that it's urban and suburban. However, in the Omaha Country Club case, as actually a dissent, they upheld the annexation in that case. But in Justice McGowan's dissent in that case, he said the possibility or even the probability that agricultural land may become urban in the future does not alter its present character. And that's really what we're looking at, is their present character. Now, as far as future development, that's actually a very interesting issue for the county as well, because, and as I stated in my brief, there's an interesting dichotomy with how this land would be developed if it were annexed into the city limits. For the most part, the Omaha metro area, at least for residential neighborhoods, uses sanitary improvement districts or SIDs, and those cannot be formed within the city limits. So that would exclude kind of that method of development, as well as.
I beg your pardon. To the extent that Mr. Miller referred to the new elementary school, mm-hmm. Is that functionally serving as a nearby SID to the extent it's creating infrastructure at hand?
I think that the elementary school coming in definitely does help bring the infrastructure into these contested parcels. But again, that infrastructure is development based. So the city wouldn't just go in and lay sewer and lay water in a farm. They would have to have some developer come in and front that cost, which is what SIDs do. When a neighborhood goes in and is developed, the SID assumes all of that cost, taxes it to the individual homeowners, and then that's how they pay for that infrastructure. So I think with the school coming in, yeah, it's going to bring the utilities to that area. But again, that school is not going to function, or that school is not a result of these 22 parcels. I mean, these parcels are all farmland. So to the extent that a school district is growing, it's growing because the city of Gretna is growing. I'm not disputing that. They're growing to the north, they're growing to the northeast, north of 370. But when you get to these parcels that we're talking about, south of 370, over a mile away from the current city limits, outside of the city's current ETJ, these are just farmland that, and when we did the depositions, I believe it was their city engineer that said, if you know somebody in one of the southern or eastern tracks wanted to build a house to connect to sewer, they would have to wait until the infrastructure got to them. It wouldn't just, the city wouldn't just go in and run 2 miles of sewer to one individual house. So they would have to basically block by block develop away from the city. And then the other thing I wanted to point out as far as development is concerned is one thing that Mr. Miller brought up was that there are several of the cases that this court has held that if the value of land is higher for residential or commercial purposes, that means that it is urban or suburban in character or tends to that direction. There's not really a black and white test in this area of law. And so when we talk about the highest and best value, what the higher value of this land is, when these 22 tracts were being appraised by their expert appraisal, he was using the prices of similar sized acreages that used SIDs to develop. So those had higher values. And we think the county believes that that artificially inflated the value of these lands, because once they're annexed, they're not going to have that mechanism. So they're going to have to figure out some other way to develop.
Is that a disputed issue of fact?
No, I don't believe so, because that's going to the argument of whether it's urban or rural, which again is a question of law. And so we don't dispute what their appraisals say, but their appraisal, even in the appraisals themselves, it says the highest and best use of these parcels is to continue the agricultural use until development demands. So essentially what's going to happen is if this annexation goes into effect, you can't use SIDs to develop. They said in deposition that they would use TIF financing, tax increment financing, but you can't use that unless the land is substandard or blighted. And so essentially they're saying this is super valuable land, but it's substandard land, so we can use a different tax subsidy to develop it. So
before your time runs out, would you address what interest or standing the county has in the outcome of this case?
Sure. So the county has standing to challenge unlawful annexations that are within the county's jurisdiction. And that was from your County of Sarpy versus City of Gretna case from 2004. Essentially what our argument is for standing is that this is an unlawful annexation because it exceeds the authority granted to the city in state statute. And the state statute specifically says that the grant of power for annexation should not be construed as conferring power to extend the limits of any municipality over agricultural lands which are rural in character. So that's the law that we believe that the city is violating, because they're trying to extend their power beyond what they actually can do. And so that is our interest in this case, is we have an interest to make sure that there are lawful annexations. We also, a lot of this land is outside of the city's extraterritorial jurisdiction. So they're basically their zoning jurisdiction, and that's all within the county's jurisdiction. So at this point we get building permit fees, sewer connection fees, all of those kind of zoning things right now, where if the city were to annex, that's something that we would lose. And again, we believe that the annexation is at this point unlawful because it's exceeding the authority under their statute.
The first part of that argument about the unlawfulness, how is that different from any other member of the public?
Well, I do believe, and I haven't spent a lot of time researching this, but when the annexation did take effect, I believe that any person that felt that this was unlawful would have been able to bring suit against the county as well if they had a personal interest in the case. Does that answer your question?
Well, I think the second part of your previous answer dealt with the personal interests of the county. It's essentially zoning fees, that sort of thing.
Right. And again, you know, if you're, let's say you're the owner of tract 15, I'm just making up that number. You're currently getting greenbelt. So if you get annexed, you lose greenbelt designation. So you're going to have an increased tax burden, but you're not going to necessarily get any benefits from the city at that point. You're not going to get city water. You're not going to get city sewer. So you're going to take on an increased tax burden.
Is it the county's job to bring a lawsuit for a private property owner?
I think that the county has an interest to protect the people within its jurisdiction, but the county also has standing in this case to make sure that the annexations happening within the county boundaries are lawful and are going to continue to be lawful in the future. And I see that I'm out of time. So if there are no other questions, I would ask you to please affirm the decision of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? We have no time for rebuttal. Council, thank you both for participating by WebEx, and you are now excused, and the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is Bowling versus Bowling.